All right, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, as we stand up here and we open up your word, Lord, we want to just pause and acknowledge your spirit. Lord, we need your spirit to open up your word to us, to feed our souls. And so we ask that you do that. We thank you for all the times that you have been faithful to us, dear God, to do that very thing. So please have mercy and be with us again this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I'm thinking about indisputable truths. I'll write that on the board. All right, indisputable truths. This is something the Lord brought to my heart, and I think in the idea of the new year coming, I don't know if I'll be able to convey that part of the message really well, but just the importance of getting a hold of indisputable truths. It seems like when, and of course, just being different ages in life can give you different impressions, but it seems like, you know, when I was a boy, there was certain truths that, you know, some people might contend with, but pretty much everybody accepted as indisputable. And as time has gone on, even those things have been shaken. And what we'd say by we're alluding to is some truths that almost the natural world basically confirms. Just by nature, certain things are seen to go right with, how can you not tell? In one place, Paul says they're without excuse and all, because it's all of creation shows these indisputable truths. So that's along the vein of the line of what we're talking about, and maybe there's a burden here to present it with the thought of the way we're growing up in the world we are today, where even indisputable truths, I would not be surprised tomorrow if somebody comes and tells me that a rock is not a rock. Yeah. I will not be, that will not shock me. I do not think there's something that can shock me anymore from what we've heard lately in our world. Mm-hmm. And so it's with that in mind that we feel like the Lord's brought us this burden. And I do not feel like we have all the things I feel like the Lord may want to present concerning indisputable truths today. But we have three that we want to get to. And then we'll see how the Lord moves from there in future times. But before we start all of this, we want to go to 1 Timothy, this sixth chapter. And we want to establish something about the world we're living in and scriptures that have promised us these kind of times would come. I don't know how many times people have lived where the thoughts were presented like they're being presented today. I don't claim that this is the only time that some of these things have tried to be presented. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, and there was a lot of things that were just very wrong with that place, why it was destroyed. So it's not a point of saying, well, this has never happened before. It's more, it's what's going on today. It's what we're living with and what it appears that we will live with for a while and what our children will grow up facing in this world. And so we want to look, 1 Timothy, the sixth chapter and the third verse. And this passage has a very specific thing he's speaking to, but in general, he's using a general instruction about man here to emphasize his point. So we're going to look at the general instruction about man. It says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth. Then it says at the end of this verse, from such withdraw thyself. this is very present in the world we're living in today. And specifically, I want to clarify who we're speaking of and who, and we will not classify them as the enemy because we wrestle not with flesh and blood. But the things that are presented and the people who are presenting them, it's aware that we really understand what we're speaking to here. We're not speaking to those who are struggling with the truth. That's not what fits in this category. There are people we come to who are struggling with truths from God's word. And they're facing things and they're trying to deal with those things. And this is not the spirit that we're dealing with, okay? That's the way I want to present this. I want us to understand that we're dealing with a spirit that's in the world today, that some people have given themselves to fully. Okay, well, the spirit of someone who is struggling with a truth and trying to understand it and has a hang up, we might call it, that's not what we're dealing with the burden of the message necessarily. I think it can help those situations, but that's not what we're talking about. Okay, the word in this passage here in the fifth verse, it says perverse disputings. This word, if you look at the Greek, means a misemployment. All right. And so in one place, Jesus talks and he says, I believe it's actually the words of Jesus, but it speaks of, and I can't quite get it in my mind now, but basically calling good evil and evil good. That is a misemployment. That's a whole nother level. That's different than someone who's having a struggle with the question, who's trying to grow, who's trying to understand truth. And looking for truth and saying, I want to know the truth. I don't understand this. It's a hang up for me. Maybe it's being presented, but there's just things in my life that hinder me from being able to get a hold of this. That's a whole different element. That's not misemployment. Misemployment involves people calling good evil and evil good, twisting around who Christ is in the world. And it comes from a spirit that you give yourself to.
Yes.
2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. We'll start with the first and the second verse here. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of the Lord. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. There is a point where someone comes to that they're not seeking, they're resisting. And that's a point we want to understand in our lives now. Not just to cast aspersions or to speak about other people, but in our own lives, there is a point we come to where we're not seeking truth, we're resisting it. Lord, help us. There is a very grave difference in those two things. As long as we're seeking truth, God can work with us. But when we come to that crossover where we choose to pull back from it and begin to resist it in our lives, we're starting down a road that ends us up in the place that we're going to talk more about right now. All right? In a place that's very different, where God can't work with us anymore about the issues because everything is becoming the issue all of a sudden in our life. All of a sudden, by resisting truth, we begin to challenge it in our life. And that's something we'll speak to here in a minute, but there's a very big difference between challenging and asking questions. Asking and challenging are two different things. And we want to be sure to seek the Lord to help us to have a heart that doesn't resist truth. God can work with us. It can take time. He has all the patience he needs. That's all okay. As long as we don't let our hearts get to a point where we begin to resist it in our life. Lord, help us to yield to the truth, to yield to the Lord, to have a heart that is willing to know, is willing to seek, is willing to allow the Lord to work with us. If that's where we are, God can do anything that needs to be done in our life as long as we stay in that place with the Lord. So Lord, help us. 2 Peter, the second chapter, speaks some more on this. The 2 Peter, the second chapter, and we're going to just pull verses here and there from this chapter. And I want us to carry that thought into this chapter of the difference between asking and challenging. Resisting and seeking. All right, there's a line there that we want to stay on the right side of so that the Lord can continue to work with us and do everything that's needed in our life with all that patience and mercy and long-suffering that he has. And Lord, help us as Christians. That's the way the Lord deals with us. I'm thinking about the servant who got dealt with one way, went out and dealt with the other people he knew a different way. So that's how the Lord wants to deal with us. And it's also how he expects us to deal with other people. All right? Lord, help us to stay on that side as the Lord deals with us in mercy and long-suffering, working with our souls. Help us to have a willingness to do the same with others. But there is a difference. There is a line there. And so reading here, it says in the first verse, it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." This, now we're stepping from the side of this line where God can work with us over that side where we're setting ourselves up for problems, to say it lightly. We're not going to get where we need to go when we step across that line between challenging and asking, between resisting and seeking. All right, Lord, help us. It's a state of our heart that we need to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So it says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Let's drop down to the 9th verse. And we'll say, "But the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation." He knows how. If you're willing to stay on the right side of this line, willing to, was it humility? Is it just giving that control? Whatever it is, to stay on the side of the line where you're asking, all right, you're not resisting, or you're seeking, you're not challenging. You stay on that side of the line, the Lord can handle it. He can deliver you out of any temptation you'll face, out of any place of misunderstanding, out of any place of lack of understanding. Whatever situation you get into, like, the Lord can deliver you out of that.
Yes.
If we stay where we need to with the Lord, if we keep our hearts with all diligence. But there's another side of the line that's reserved unto the day of judgment to be punished. "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption." Y'all, this is a spirit. This is, we get down to this point where this dividing line is, and we don't really see sometimes how that we are deciding whether we're going to give ourselves to the Lord and his spirit in our lives, or we're going to give ourselves to another spirit. We see, I'm either going to go for the Lord, or I'm just going to resist him. Well, that's the truth. But in resisting him, then you are setting up for another spirit to have room in your life to work. This life, we're living it, and we're making choices, and we have the power of choice because of what Christ did on the cross. Yes. But by that choice, we're given room to one spirit or the other. True. It is not just you or you and the Lord. It's either you and the Lord, or you giving space to the devil in your life and to his spirits to begin to work and lead you to places you would not go. That's why we have the song, "Sin Takes You Farther Than You Ever Want to Go." Why? Because you didn't give yourself just to do what you wanted like you thought. You gave yourself to a spirit that then had control a force outside of you that blows on you and pushes you in certain directions.
Right.
It's why these choices are so much more than just what we do. Right. It's what we give space to in our life. All right? And so, these people gave space to a spirit of resistance, to a spirit of challenge, to what the Lord was. It said even denying the Lord and who He is. Mm-hmm. All right? And so it led them to a place. And it said, goes on and says, they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. They count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Brute beast made to be taken and destroyed. What a place that our choice can lead us to in life. This isn't what God wanted. He didn't say there's going to be certain people who are just this way and certain people who are going to be the other. He said, you're going to have a choice.
Right.
And then you're going to give yourself to my spirit or the spirit of this world. And it's going to lead you to one place or the other.
Right.
And to think that that choice can actually lead me to a place where I, who was made to be saved, am now something to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get a hold of that sometimes in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the choices we're making. All right? So Lord, help us. And it goes back down to that simple point of seeking to know or resisting in our life. That's what starts it all. Let's get down to where it starts. Let's not try to fight it up here where it's a big battle. Let's get down to where it starts in our lives. And then if we can get a hold of that, then let's have a heart to try to, Lord, what can I do to bring this truth to other people to help them see? It's back down here. It's not up here in all this that we're seeing going on in our world and trying to side this side or this side. You know, there's no side except down here. All right, where we choose to humble down before the Lord and do one of those two things, seek or challenge, resist or ask. All right. And so it's the spirit inside of you that you're deciding what's going to have control. All right. Right there in that moment, which one's going to have control in your life? Jude. Turn over here to Jude and read just a few more verses along this line. All right. And so in Jude, the third verse, it says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. Okay, so guys, I think we do, but let's just remind ourselves this morning. This time we have here is precious. It is precious.
Yes.
And whatever happens here, let it be the Lord that has control of it. All right? Let it be that when the exhortations come, they are what the Lord sees needs to happen in our life. With all my heart, I believe this morning that the Lord has given us this exhortation for us to share together and to all consider together the importance of this in our lives. So let's take it as important. Not because I'm saying it. Y'all know that's not it. We can spend all the time you need in the world to get to the place where you realize this is about the Lord. And it's about the importance of the exhortation He has given us this morning. He doesn't come in firing blanks, as so many ministers have said, so many people have said before. The Lord doesn't fire blanks. When the Lord truly has control of the message, then He's given it to us for a reason. All right? And so this morning, it's necessity that we exhort each other, that we contend for the faith that was given to us. All right? So these indisputable truths that we're going to fight for, that we're going to exhort each other about this morning, that we're going to say these need to be established in our lives, that we need to not let go of these things, they don't need to be things that we've come up with. That's not what we're here for this morning. We're not here for things that we've decided or we've declared, but we're here for what God has given to us, the faith that has been given to us. Not from our fathers. They pointed us to it. And their fathers maybe pointed them to it. And by that, I just mean the people in our lives that pointed us to Christ. And we could trace that on back all the way to Christ, where people have been pointing other people to it. But it's been given by God. We don't need things up here this morning that at some point were given by man. We don't need them at all. The world is too messed up. I don't know how to say it. There's too many problems. There's too many things we're going to face to sit here and contend for things that we as men have given to each other. The Lord help us in those things. I'm not throwing them out. Okay, then not at all. But the burden of this message is there are indisputable truths that we need to carry. There's points in the world where, okay, there are points where we can say, you know what, the Lord bless you. If you're not quite right about this, I hope he helps you. And if I'm not, I hope he helps me. But there are points that are indisputable that we can't say, you know what, I can't say Lord bless you, because that's an indisputable truth from the Word of God. And we need to stand on these things. And there's an importance to recognizing the difference in our life, okay? So we need to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And if we drop on down to the 10th verse, it speaks of people. And I almost want to read this whole chapter, but in the interest of time, maybe I will recommend it to you, the space between the 3rd verse and the 10th verse. But for the sake of time today and the focus of the message, we might just pick up actually in the 8th verse. It says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring any against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. There's a point. And I'm not saying to go out and somebody says something, you look at him and go, the Lord rebuke you. That's not my point. All right? I think that's a very rare circumstance that probably won't happen to most of us ever in our life, where the Lord calls us to speak verbally to someone and say, the Lord rebuke thee. That's just not something I'm not sure we'll ever do. But in our lives, as we hear what the devil is trying to say through people, things being presented, we need to know where our line is drawn. And we say, no, the Lord rebuke this. And then into our homes, where we are responsible for teaching what's right and what's wrong. There are certain things where we need to say, this is not right. There's no place in anywhere before the Lord that this is ever going to be able to be something that somebody gives themselves to and is okay with the Lord. Amen. There's a point to say, the Lord rebuke this, before ourselves and before our families that we're responsible for. So Lord, help us to understand that and to know when that time is, okay? But it says, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. Lord, help us. But what they know naturally as brute beast, and those things they corrupt themselves. This is an element that is against nature, okay? That is against the very core of who God is. And there's not a space in this. We have to be willing to accept these things to go with the Lord. All right? They are foundational truths. They are indisputable truths. I almost hesitate to even call them, you know, they are foundational. But there might be a measure of personal, and not only personal by we're interpreting the truth, but assuming personal things that God has come to us and dealt with us on, that there might be foundational truths as we establish a body in Christ, ourselves or our families or as a group, a body, there's foundational truths. But I think there's a measure even beyond that that we're reaching to today that's indisputable truths that go out into the world and draw a line and things where... And so that's what we're looking at here. And this verse is speaking to people who, even in those things, the very deepest of truths, they completely resisted those things. Things that even without knowing the scriptures, you should know this is not right. This is not the way things should be. Okay. And so the Lord help us today to speak clearly about them, because I believe it's important to understand that. But again, before we then go to certain specific indisputable truths that we're going to go to now and list, I want us to understand that it's back to that point. Are we asking or are we resisting? Are we seeking or are we challenging? That's where we're deciding which way we're going to move, which side of this line we're going to end up on. And we might say, well, let me just say that. Other thoughts come to mind, but keep that very clear in our minds, the importance of being on the right side of that line in our life. All right, so indisputable truth number one. Well, where else would we go but to the first chapter, the very first verse written in the Bible? And, you know, I'm going to submit to you that one thing the devil does is he challenges something so much for a long time, and then he moves on to another thing, kind of, right, and emphasizes it to where that first thing becomes almost just like he's done his work, and we come almost numb to it a little bit and the importance of it. All right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There are things that the devil has presented to this world to challenge it.
Yes.
That today we sit and go, oh, well, that may not be so bad. This may not be so bad. Now, at this space, the things have gotten to the point where I feel like as parents, we ought to have the prerogative with our children to speak about those things. So I'm not going to get very specific. But I'm going to tell us that there are things being accepted now because things have moved on to another issue so much that we don't consider the effect of those things on this indisputable truth. Anything that challenges whether God made this world or not is something we need to be careful with. Yes. At the very least, can I say it that way? We need to realize what the spirit is behind that thing. Yes. Because what happens now is Satan moves on to something that seems worse, is that we're like, well, you know, that's not so bad. What's the effect on my child? What's the effect on me that this thing is happening? Is it challenging whether or not God made the world? Mm-hmm. You know what we get with sometimes? And we read several verses about how the angels wouldn't dispute with them. Mm-hmm. Let me counsel us with the burden of the Lord and the way I feel. Maybe the Lord help me to present this the right way. If it's challenging whether or not the Lord made the world, it's okay if there's some things in there that might even be truth. We can move the whole thing aside because there's a more important thing that's being challenged. And whether or not we know everything about that thing. Now, if we come on some knowledge and we can begin to decipher, well, here and here, you know, how these things fit into the indisputable truth, that's another issue. But sitting here sometimes and we're like, well, we've got to figure it out. We've got to be willing. If we can't prove it wrong, then we can't push it aside. We have to accept it. You don't have to accept it. It can be as simple as, let's say we're talking with our children. It can be as simple as saying, do you see that that thing challenges this truth? So until we understand it better, we just need to push it aside. Yes. We don't need to be protecting of it and trying to figure out, well, I've got to accept it, yes, until I figure out what's right and what's wrong about it. Sure. And whether everything's wrong or some's wrong, if it challenges whether or not God made the world,
yes,
then it's something to put aside, mm-hmm, and to emphasize the indisputable truth. Mm-hmm. All right? I've heard Brother Dan Doolittle said something one time I thought was a good way to say it. He said, was there something here that you know, in the midst of all this, what were those things here? Well, if they were, God made them. And they weren't here before God made them. And they weren't here because God didn't make them. You know, they didn't evolve or something. If it was here, God made it. Amen. All right? And there's another verse I want to read along those lines over here in John, the first chapter. And I hope in this, it's not just the things we're talking about, but the importance of truth superseding the words, the news, the wisdom of this world. Sometimes we feel so like we have to accept those things and we have to integrate them unless we can prove they're wrong. You know what? We can simply cling to the Lord, and if we end up being a little bit dumb about the things that are going on in the world, but we clung to the truths of God's word, we're going to be okay. But if we try to bring this in and then decipher what's right and wrong, and you know the effects in the process of us figuring that out, already there's effects happening on us and on those around us because we brought it in. Lord, help us to be careful. All right, John, the Gospel of John, the first chapter and the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Do you have a question? Okay, that's fine. Present it to the Lord. Don't let it become a challenge to him. You see, when we don't establish indisputable truth first, then devil's got that place to pull us to a challenge instead of just seeking him. Lord, I'd like to know, what did this happen or did this not happen? How did you create the world? What did you do to create the world? Well, you spoke it into existence, and everything that's here was created by you. And past that, Lord, you're just going to have to help me understand, but this is the indisputable truth.
Yes.
And I'm not going to allow something to challenge that in my life, okay? Because I want to ask, not challenge. I don't want to have that wrong spirit inside of me. I want to accept your truths and then let you lead me from there. So that is the first indisputable truth. God is the creator. He created all things in the beginning. All right, let's turn back to Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis, the first chapter, and the 26th verse says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image." Now to this point, he's speaking about humans, all right? He's speaking about, let us create humans. All right, but he goes on, he says, "In the image of God created he him, them, male and female created he them." He now is specifically to genders. One, two. That's it. The world tries to present all kinds of ideas. Well, it's like this, it's like that, it's like that. You know what? I don't even really have to understand all the ways that this, whatever it is in your mind, it seems crazy. We can get such pressure to feel like we have to look at what they're saying, figure it out, decipher it out. You know what? I don't even have to hear that. One, two, question answered. Now let's move on from there and learn more about these two genders and how God made them and all this. And we can go on from there. But there's only two.
Amen.
You can't back up in front of indisputable truth and establish something else. All right, you have to start with indisputable truth. If you don't, you're going to be on the wrong side of this line. You're resisting truth already from the very core of your premises. You have to back up to indisputable truth and start there, or else you're on the wrong side of the line. There's no way to do anything past that. Lord have mercy. That's all I can say, because we know. And I wonder sometimes things go up and down. This just seems to be accelerating. You know, you wonder how much further it can go. I don't know. But this is an indisputable truth that's being challenged in our world today. That there's something else. That there's a mixture of this. Or that there's, you know what, I kind of just ignore it myself to some degree. So I don't know all the things they're saying today. And I thank God I don't. I don't have any desire to. Because all of that's in front of indisputable truth. That's not a place I go. It's not a place we need to go in life. We start with the indisputable truth. And we make sure everything references to that. If we're going to stay on the right side of this line. All right, so male and female created he them. Genesis, the fifth chapter, he states this again in the fifth chapter. It says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. And blessed them, and called their name Adam, and the day which they were created." So once again, male and female. All right. So there's something here too. There's two things that I wanted us to get a hold of. And of course, we've established the first, male and female. The second one is, God made them. Created he them. Those are the words. God decides this. This is touching another issue I've heard out there, that people can decide and go decide to be something different. God created male and female. Nobody else came up with that. You know, if I go out and I build, invent something, if I want to decide that it's something different, then I have the space to do that because I'm the inventor of that thing. God is the inventor of male and female.
Right.
He came up with it. People are going, well, it's this. Really? You're the one that came up with that? Somehow I thought there's an indisputable truth that says something different. Well, there is an indisputable truth that says something different. It says God did that. God came up with it. God decides what they can be, what they are. You remember what we said? We start with the fact he created, you know, this male and female. But then we look at, well, who gets to decide what a male is and what a female is? God. He created them. He's the one that decided what they are. He's the one that built them to be what they're supposed to be in life. And so as we look to see what a male is and what a female is, we go, Lord, we don't start saying, well, a male is this thing and a female is this thing. That's against the indisputable truth of God's word that he is the creator of male and female. He is the one that came up with that. He's the one that decided it. He is the one that decides what they are. And that's for the rest of life. There's not a point where it's no longer his creation, that it becomes ours to decide what those things are. That is the Lord's place. And it will always be the Lord's place. And he is who's decided that. And if this morning he has created you as a male, as a boy, as a man, that's what he's created you to be. And there's not a point where he gave it up to you to decide whether that's what you wanted to be or not. All right? That is what the Lord decided. Okay? Same thing, women. God decided that you're a woman. He decided you were a girl. He decided he made you to be a certain thing because of that. And it's not a point in life where you're saying, okay, now it's your time to decide what this means. The Lord is the creator. He is the one that established what it means. And it's his business from now until eternity to establish that. And you know what? There's nowhere in his word where he talks about changing it. Amen. There's nowhere in his word where he gives space for that. He has decided you're to be this. Now it's time to decide. Remember, we start with the indisputable. If we want to be asking and we want to be seeking, then what we do is we start with the indisputable truth. We don't get in front of it. If we get in front of it, then we begin to challenge it. We start at it and we move on from there. We say, okay, now, Lord, what does this mean in my life? How does it mean? What kind of man? What kind of man? I don't even need to say it that way. The way the world is today, that wouldn't one day not been taken wrong at all. But let me say, we need to say, what is a man? What does it mean that you have created me as a man? What does it mean that you created me as a female? What is it you've given me to do as a man? What is a man, Lord? And the Lord can show you what a man is. He's got it all through his word. The Lord can show you what a woman is, what a girl is. You don't have to be scared that somehow, the Lord very clearly shows us what those things are to be. What they're not to be. And you can seek God and you can find out just who you're supposed to be. You know what that's the problem? People have started this, well, what am I? And instead of seeking God about it, they started trying to figure it out themselves. That's room for all kinds of error. All right?
Yes.
So we seek God to know what it is that we're supposed to be in life and learn. All right? So God decides, not humans, what a man is, what a female is. He is the one that has established that, and it's not something that it shows anywhere in his word he's ever going to change. All right? A third indisputable truth, Genesis, the second chapter. And this will be our last one for today that we're going to bring out today. So 2 and 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every creature, that was the name thereof. And the Lord gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. Can I say something? It's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but it's the truth. And I'm not... To us guys, a dog is not our best friend. Okay. Just, and that touches so much more than just a dog in our life.
Amen.
The Lord made it that marriage was a union of best friends. He made us to be together.
Yes.
He made us to find our enjoyment, our hobbies. He made us to do that together as best friends. A dog is not my best friend, and I could, there's nothing else I can put in that word there to replace what God created Amber to be for me and what he created me to be for Amber. We are to be each other's best friends.
True.
So that's a comment there. It says then, the 21st verse, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had God had taken from man made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. Or this word means stick like glue. And they shall be one flesh. All right. We got another verse probably already coming to your mind that we're going to read. But the Lord created marriage. Once again, we get this idea. Well, we must have come up with this somewhere. We're the ones that came up with marriage, right? So we get to decide what it is. No. God came up with marriage. Man doesn't have the ability or the right or the place to be able to say, well, we're going to make it this thing now. You didn't come up with it. I didn't come up with it. The Lord came up with marriage. Therefore, he defined what it is. And there's no changing unless he says, well, it's something different. And he doesn't. He never has. He never will. And anywhere in his word has he ever said it's something different. The Lord is consistent. He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
All right? And he created marriage as a union between one man and one woman.
True.
That's it.
Amen.
All right? There's so many things I could say here, but I think we can see that truth very clearly. He didn't make it as a union between man and any type of animal. He said, this is not what marriage is. Dog is not your best friend. Union is between a man and a woman, of a relationship, of a helpmeet, of a union of two people joined together for life. One man and one woman. To spend their life, to share their hearts, to share their dreams, to share their wishes, to seek God together. They were made to do this. This is what a husband and wife were made for. All right? And it was something that was to carry on for the entirety of this life. Between one man and one woman. It says in Matthew 19. Matthew 19 and the third verse says, and the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that which he made, that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. We just read back in Genesis. Yes. We've read it, right? Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. You know, in our hearts, if we are seeking and not resisting, if we are asking and not challenging, there's no need to go any further. The questions that come up, even amongst the people of God, have come from a place where somebody began to challenge. They were not, I'm talking about in their hearts. They wanted something different than just what God created things to be. And so then there became challenges. And then there became decisions. And when you start to challenge, you know what you can do? You can find anything in the Word of God to speed you along in the challenge. You know why I can say that? Because I've seen it happen, but because it's also what Satan did. He went to parts of the Word of God to try to get Jesus to do something
Yes. That
Jesus knew he shouldn't do. And you know, Jesus was on the right side of that line, and he was able to have the verse, and he said, but the Word also says this, and you can't contradict the Word, Satan. The Word is truth all the way through. And so, right here, someone who is at a place, not resisting, not challenging, can come to the truth of God's Word. And what it says, because it says it clearly right here. What were the Pharisees doing? Were they really seeking truth? Or were they trying to trap Jesus? Were they challenging who he was? My opinion, from what I see in the Word of God, is they were challenging who Jesus was. Therefore, they had another question that wasn't really a question. It was an attempt to resist, to challenge, to prove somehow what Jesus said wrong.
Right.
You want to prove what Jesus said wrong? I believe I see from the Word of God and the way Jesus works. Okay, you know, go do it. If that's the way you're going to approach this thing, you're going to end up with the results you don't want in your life in the end. And they said unto him, why did Moses then get command to give a writing of divorcement and put her away? And he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. One man, one woman for life. Remember what we said before, because we had a message about marriage a while back, and we talked about if I'm living for Christ and I'm on the right side of this line, am I going to be there with hardness of heart? Is that going to let me be there? That hardness of heart doesn't work on the right side of the line of Christ. If you've got hardness of heart, that's something you've got to get out of your life to let the Lord do what he needs to do. It's got to be changed. You're not going to prove the Word of God in your life. You're not going to, it's not going to work in your life if there's hardness of heart. Hardness of heart is something that has to be removed in order for you to do what you need to do before Christ. In order for you to live for him and be faithful and be holy, be pure before him, you can't do it with clinging to hardness of heart. You have to remove it from your life. So many people have taken that as an excuse to go do whatever. Well, you know, so many times Jesus spoke truth without people even realizing. Somebody took this. You know why they took it? Because they let hardness of heart put them on the wrong side of the line. The Lord just clarified what's happening in the life of somebody who's making room for not being faithful to your marriage to death. From the beginning, it was not so. So a third indisputable truth that we want to end with today. One man, one woman for life. That is what marriage is. It's what it's always been. It's what God created it to be. And it's what he intends for it to be in our lives today. And there's people who have been faithful to this, and there's people who haven't. But none of that changes what the truth of God's word
is. Yes, that's true.
I want to end with a verse that we'll point back to, and I feel like as we come to more indisputable truths that we want to share, because there are definitely... there's at least one more, but I didn't feel like God have it for this morning, but I feel like there's more than that. But these are some verses I want to point us back to each time to realize the importance of what we're doing. So let's turn to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Second Timothy, the third chapter, and the 13th verse says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Stay on the right side of the line. You can. You don't have to be deceived. But in your heart, if you let yourself challenge, if you let hardness of your heart rule, you're going to be pulled to the wrong side of this line. And you know what you do there? You get deceived. And you get pulled in a direction that you don't want to go. All right? Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Don't back up ahead of indisputable truths. Continue in the things that you know to be true. When you know it's true that God created this world, don't back up in front of it and begin to challenge it. Work from it to learn. You know what? Those same things that people are pointing to challenge, I've heard people who have used them to show that God's word is true. You know God will do that in your life. The things that are there that you're wondering about, if you just go to indisputable truth and you move from there, he will begin to use the very things that people are using to challenge that truth to show you that it's true many, many times. So start with indisputable truth. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Your mom, your dad. You know, if you've got some indisputable truths in your life, you know why you've been able to learn them. God had mercy on your soul. He had mercy on my soul, and he let me learn some indisputable truths that I could stand on and move on from, and the Lord could add to in my life. But it's the mercy of the Lord that has taught us those things. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What, me to y'all, meaning pastor to church, preacher to congregation? No. God to us. All scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness from God to us. You know what? There's been times where a little child, 3 years old, has said something that was true, and they didn't even know what they said, but God spoke to my heart and gave me reproof or gave me correction. The Lord, the child didn't know what they were doing. They had no idea. But the Lord used them to say something that brought my mind back to things I know the Lord has taught me. You know what? The Lord will do that in our life if we keep a heart where it needs to be before him. He can do that. The man of God, that for instruction righteous, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is God's desire, his burden with this message, that we be strong, that we be strengthened in the Lord and the things that matter, and that we know more and more how to live in this life. I thank the Lord that he loves us and is so faithful to us. You pray for me.